I call this meeting of the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement to order at 5:30 p.m. in the Rita Lytton Senate Chambers and on Zoom. Moving on to agenda item 2, compliance with the Nevada Open Meeting Law. Was this agenda posted 3 full working days by 9 a.m., not including the meeting date? Yes, it was. Is the meeting taking place on the day of the week, month, day, year, at the time, and location listed on the agenda? Yes, it was. And is the Zoom link working and available to the public? Obviously, it is. Moving on to agenda item 3, roll call. Vice Chair Radke, do you have the sheet up?
Yeah.
All right, Vice Chair Radke, you'll call the roll.
Okay, give me a second. Okay. Is it this or
what? Sorry. I think that's ASA.
Oh my God, this is
I can call the roll. Okay. I'll call the roll. Chair Issa, present. Vice Chair Radke?
Present.
Senator Dayton?
Present.
Senator Castro?
Present.
Senator Barris?
Present.
Senator Evans?
Present.
Senator Saporito?
Present.
Senator Atkinson is present on Zoom. And Senator Burroughs? Quorum is present. All right, moving on to agenda item 4, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing no public comment, we'll be moving on to agenda item 5, adoption of minutes. There are no minutes to be approved at this time. Skipping past agenda item 6, on to agenda item 7A, report from the Director of Government Affairs, Isabel Hatch.
Senators, we have kind of a long update, surprisingly, tonight. The Nevada special legislative session is over as of a couple of days ago. We tracked over 15 bills, but the Assembly's ban on telephonic public comment definitely limited our impact. I'd be glad to give a presentation to all of you concerning the legislative session if you're interested. Please just let me know. I've continued to have conversations with GCE about food insecurity and I'm planning to discuss Shelby Beetz's progress with her and Austin Daly during our somewhat consistent meetings on Monday. We were required to cancel our meeting or our event panel last night as the regents we invited and rescheduled a couple of times canceled last minute. And so, alongside a handful of logistic issues with PacLab, we were much required and forced to cancel. We'll be pocketing the event idea and returning to it in January, as well as a handful of other events that we'll be hoping to throw during the department's event week in early February. Late last night, the NC Board of Regents December quarterly meeting agenda dropped, and I have identified at least 6 agenda items that Gov Affairs will be analyzing before taking that information to the President's Cabinet and figuring out what our reactions to each of these things will be, whether it's just something that we're interested in and we'll be tracking and looking at, especially if it's information only, or whether it's something that we will be actually briefing and writing public comment on to be providing. As an update for that meeting, it will be attended by President Ogilvie, Vice President McNamara, Chief of Staff Dietrich, Advocacy Director Casey, and myself. I was glad to present to Senate on Wednesday to be confirmed as Director of Government Affairs, so thank you all for the support. I was also glad to see the DocuPAC resolution pass on Wednesday, because I was very glad to collaborate with the authors of that resolution and hope to further Government Affairs' relationship with Senate moving forward. The department's interns are doing very, very well. They're beginning their halfway project, and we hope to see them also giving public comment at the December Board of Regents meeting alongside officers of the association and maybe senators as well. As a reminder of something that Advocacy Director Casey said in public comment, or delivered by Policy Director Atencio, said in public comment on Wednesday, any public comment that you intend to give at those meetings, if you're giving it as a senator or as a member of ASUN, you must run in that public comment through our department, per the SAS. We need to have a collective message on anything that you're giving public comment on. If you would like to give public comment as a student of the university without mentioning your involvement in ASUN, you're free to say whatever you want. So please keep that in mind. We would be glad to help you write those public comments, but please keep in mind that we intend to have a overarching message within the association. With that, does anyone have any questions?
Does anyone have any questions for the director? All right, thank you very much. Right, I'll be skipping past the rest of the reports out of respect for the time of our guests here tonight. So we'll be skipping past agenda item 8 and moving on to agenda item 9A, presentation from the Office of Service Learning and Civic Engagement. Whenever you're ready.
Awesome. Let me just make sure I share this. Here tonight. My name is Ian. I'm a graduate assistant with the Office of Service Learning and Civic Engagement.
I'm Delta. I am just a student worker too, hopefully GA soon. I'm just working those slice.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Audrey Escobar. I'm a student worker too at the office as well.
So we have a little bit of an agenda for our presentation for y'all tonight. We do like to start off with the land acknowledgement. The University of Nevada, Reno is situated on traditional homelands of the Numu, the Washoe, the Niue, and the Nuwu peoples. These lands continue to be a gathering place for indigenous peoples and recognize their deep connections to these places. Our office would like to extend our appreciation for the opportunity to live and learn on their territories.
So a little bit about the beginning of, it's called OSLICE, is our acronym. It started in 2012, has been a direct initiative under the Office of the Provost. OSLICE functions as the hub for critical community engagement at the university, and it serves as an academic resource that establishes curriculum standards for community-engaged learning opportunities for university students, faculty, and community partnerships. OSLICE also provides guidance on developing effective and comprehensive relationships among the students, faculty, and community organizations. It also encourages critical engagement and learning alongside the communities. The design, integration, and implementation of community engaged learning or scholarship, CELS, which you guys know about, I believe, are rooted in participation, education, engagement, capacity building, and understanding. Community engaged learning and scholarship also emphasizes the importance of community action, social change, and justice, and our office aims to develop and implement meaningful community engagement opportunities that are mutually beneficial and reciprocal, which addresses the current and future needs of community students and faculty. The university has formally designated and recognized by the Carnegie Foundation as a quote highly engaged institution, and it holds the elective classification for community engagement. Therefore, continued development, implementation, and improvement of the office is essential to promoting and meeting the university goals and metrics set forth in the 2023 to 2027 Gold Pack Rising Strategic Plan, the Land Grant Mission, and the Carnegie Classification.
Is there any questions about that before we move on?
So we have like three main commitments. They're essential to our core mission. They guide our initiatives, our program, the curricular aspect. We want to set high standards for the community and for the public through community engaged learning and leadership. So the first one we have is civic engagement. Civic participation helps develop informed members of society, promotes the co-creation of knowledge to solve problems through collaboration, effort, or initiatives between the government and the community. Next, we have public service. We're committed to public service, nonprofit work, and community-focused initiatives. Organizations, departments, or courses that serve the public or community should benefit from collaborating, ensuring mutual benefits and reciprocity for your critical engagement. And then lastly, progress and justice. OSICE is dedicated to developing solution-oriented leaders and scholars through critical and community engagement that aims for progress and justice. The guiding principle of community engaged learning and scholarship sets the best practices for community engagement in higher education. Our role, the OSLEX connects the campus and the community by engaging Nevada together. OSLEX serves as a primary resource for community engaged learning and leadership. It also establishes the best practices and standards for community engaged learning and research at the institution, which provides the campus with valuable community connections and partnerships for experiential learning. Our role on campus is to develop resources, programs, and initiatives to strengthen the university's public purpose and commitment to community engagement, provide oversight on policies regarding curricular community learning, opportunities, courses, and community partnerships, and serves as an institutional resource for critical community engagement, scholarship, and curriculum development. And then our role in the community is to streamline and support community partnership efforts by promoting opportunities through the community partner website. We also serve as a site for community-engaged learning courses, internships, or practicum experiences where a student completes at least 15 engagement hours per semester. And lastly, join a university community coalition that co-creates knowledge with university students, faculty, and staff.
You got this. Okay, so here's our team. Matthew is our fearless leader, and they were unable to be here this evening, but Matthew has provided the structure for like our office, and we're continually growing right now, going through like a sort of a rebuilding of our office using the principles of community engaged leadership and learning and scholarship. Sorry, my brain is on Friday mode right now. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what community engaged learning is, although. Y'all are pretty familiar with the concept, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, so I can, maybe move through this a little quickly. But basically, what community engaged learning is taking stuff that we learn in the classroom and applying it in communities that we partner with. The university like partners with a long list of universities. They can be found on the OSLEX website. Not just universities, a long list of community organizations in Nevada and elsewhere. The goal is to identify community needs mutually rather than to impose like university policy or ideas onto communities. The goal is to collaborate. So that's kind of the gist of community engaged learning. I do have this video from, I think that it's pretty, we're gonna cover it though, and it doesn't work on our end. So I thought I fixed it, but what was that? I think that we cover it pretty well. So there's six steps of CEL. First, we identify the community needs, and like I said, this happens with as like a mutual process where we collaborate with local organizations, businesses, groups, and community members themselves to address needs identified by them. Then we integrate our academic and engaged learning, like linking coursework and research to class objectives with real-world applications. So third step is to create mutually beneficial partnerships. We frame them as reciprocal, both students benefit and communities benefit. Let's see. Step four, we implement various modes of engagement. This could be through either direct service, through advocacy or civic action, community organizing or building engaged scholarship and research, or leadership and career readiness. We develop critical reflection opportunities. Reflection is a huge part of this. It's central and necessary to the experience, and it allows for the deepening of our own knowledge and our place within these communities that we're working with. It also, for me, I think it deepens cultural awareness and multicultural competency. Step six is to produce these critical solutions with these communities that focus on the public good. This is a little graphic that I made that kind of like illustrates the trickle down like methodology in applying community engaged learning. So for students, some benefits are that applying theories and skills learned in the classroom to real world settings. So they're learning how people in these communities like operate in the settings that they operate in with them, and not just learning about them from a different perspective than is actually being practiced. We develop a sense of responsibility to contribute to their communities as well. We provide these hands-on experiences that prepare students for leadership and problem solving in diverse contexts. For faculty and staff, it enhances their teaching and their research through experiential community-driven methods. And it also puts a little bit of the onus on the staff at engaging with the communities that they are hoping that their students will work with themselves. And for communities, they benefit from projects shaped around their self-identified priorities. So it's really like an everybody wins when we apply community-engaged learning and scholarship.
So our pathways, our office offers various pathways through community-engaged learning and leadership. With a strong focus on mutual benefit and reciprocity, participants in each pathway gain critical knowledge and practical experience in community engagement. CEL is encouraged and supported by the office and the university to develop solution-oriented leaders and scholars. So for students, we have CEL courses, internships, or practicum. We also have the Bonner Leadership Program, which is currently inactive, but we have plans to bring it back again, I think.
It's part of the rebuilding of our office.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then we have workshops and resources, as well as student awards, like the Silver Claw Award. For faculty, we have the CEL course development, facilitation, and integration, community engaged scholarship program, the Service Learning Council or Faculty Fellowship, and some faculty awards and grants. And lastly, for community, we have the University Community Coalition Building, service, volunteerism, and engagement experiences. We have the CEL courses, internships, or practicum placements, as well as the Community Partner Awards. Do you guys have any questions at all?
Thank you very much.
You can hit us up on our website or on Instagram. We can respond there, or you can shoot us an email. I believe your chairperson has contact to reach out for us.
Awesome. And now
Instagram
opening the.
Instagram hasn't posted since 2023, but our intern will be up there.
Thank you all so much.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you very much. And, does anyone have any questions? Senator Saporito?
Sorry, thank you for the presentation. Regarding the Service Learning Committee, is there any news or information you would have on the recent meetings they've been having?
I haven't personally been to any of the Service Learning Committee meetings, but I am on the Silver Paw Committee meetings. And as far as news, for the Silver Paw Award, are you familiar with the Silver Paw? Silver Paw awardees are open to some of the service learning designated courses, and those are ones that are part of our office workings. Any class that wants to be designated as service learning course can apply for it, and we'll be granted it.
We are getting student awards specifically for service learning courses rather than just community engagement. I believe by January we should have that out to the service learning courses and try to get that rolling.
We're also undergoing, as part of the office rebuild, we're undergoing a name change. And so we will be in contact with when we're ready to hard launch that as well. But be on the lookout for that. Our name is going to change, I believe, to the Office of Community Engaged Learning and Leadership.
Thank you very much. Does anyone else have any questions? Oh, I have a question.
Sure.
So in conversations I've had with other faculty on campus, I've learned that there are a lot of students on campus who may have only done participated in volunteering or whatnot for maybe like a couple hours, maybe in high school or whatever. And so I'm just wondering, how has your office done outreach in trying to try to get those students who maybe have not volunteered in the past or have not done public service in the past to try and step up and get in that sort of work?
Well, right now that's kind of on the teachers and the ones that designate their classes as service learning. So right now we reach out to lots of faculty and try and get them to designate their courses as service learning. And once that's done, it's kind of through the teachers to connect them with the communities that they're partnering with. Does that answer your question?
Yes. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. And just another question. While you're here, is there any sort of way in which ASUN or this committee in particular can help to support your office and its goals, whether it's like through promotion or anything really?
Well, for sure, especially once we undergo our name change, promotion will be like a huge part of our active role. It should be like starting to get up and running by the beginning of next semester. But other than that, if you guys have ideas that you want to collaborate and bring to us, we're more than happy to collaborate with y'all as well. But I can't think of any other like really specifics right now without our fearless leader being present as well.
Yeah, we are a small team and we are trying to grow. We have one of the PIGP interns coming in soon. It was just three in the office until I came along. So we are trying to grow, which I think would help with outreach and how we can connect with other organizations on campus. But right now we're just trying to stay afloat.
Yeah, and being able to grow our office is very much one of the things that will enable us to really jettison our community engaged practices. I myself have been doing some work researching for my GA ship on ways that we could integrate more creative presentations of our undergraduate research and into more departments that don't participate in things like our Wolfpack Discovery Symposium on undergraduate research. And I'm looking into there's one idea I had based off of CU Boulder. They do a sidewalk chalk symposium, and that would be something that's really cool, really accessible, easy to clean. And we just need to figure out the red tape of getting the university to allow us to put sidewalk chalk art around campus. But these are some of the ways that y'all could support us and as we move through the process, is helping us figure out how to make some of those ideas come to fruition.
And there is a future goal too, to have a community engaged student group. We're just kind of waiting on yes or no on the GA ship for me, but that would also be a great way to collaborate. So we'll definitely keep in touch with that because I think that would be really great.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I do have another question. If anyone else has a question, please. Senator Burroughs.
I saw on Handshake that you guys are having the internship, available, and it's the community engaged in terms of what? I mean, I could read it. But what is
the
idea
like? So our leader Matt could answer this way better than I can, but it would be an internship where students come in and learn how to apply community engagement in our office and at the level that we're at. This could be one idea for the interns is to help promote our social media stuff. Because Delta said, our Instagram page hasn't seen since DLC in a long time. So being able to like build some campaigns that pull more people in and towards coming into the office, towards checking us out, allowing us to grow the office more, I think that is where it's at.
It's kind of left loose too, just because, I mean, with the whole rebranding thing, like, I don't even know what my job position is right now.
We have partnership approvals that need to happen, site assessments that need to happen. And so Audrey, her job is basically to help with the site assessments and community partnership side of things. I do more research on other institutions, how they practice community engagement, how we could apply it here, or what we're doing right, what we could work on at the university from our office level. And so really, Delta assists both me and Audrey, and then the intern would also do some of that assisting work and being delegated some research areas to check out, learning different ways to research and then apply community engaged learning as well. So.
And there are also opportunities for the intern to help restructure our website because currently it is not accessible. And so that's also one of the plans, which is hopefully will help.
It's been a long process going through everything that we have and making it accessible. But we're doing it.
All right, does anyone else have any questions before I move on to mine? No? Okay. Does your office collect any student data in terms of civic learning and participation and that sort of thing? And if so, what are sort of the trends that we've been seeing so far?
I don't know. Audrey, do you mind?
From my knowledge, I have no idea.
Okay. We do have very basic data, just how many people are involved in the service learning courses, and then how many hours they get. I mean, we haven't completed the hour part because the semester isn't over, so I don't have that information. But I think there's around 150 students in service learning courses, roughly. That's not 100% correct, but.
Yeah, and what I can say from I've been working in this office for almost 2 years now. So from my observation, it seems like classes aren't being designated or aren't wanting to designate themselves as service learning quite as much. And this is reflected by a slightly lower attendance for the Wolfpack Discovery Symposium this semester that's coming up. It's not crazy lower, but it is slightly lower attendance. And I think that, if I'm not mistaken, it is because some of the classes that were designated service learning did not designate themselves service learning again this year. So that's an area that outreach to teachers, trying to get them on board with community engaged learning and wanting to designate their classes for service learning status. That's where it's at, I think.
All right, thank you. I do have another question. Does anyone else have Senator Saporito?
What's your department's relationship with GIFTFOLS?
So we're currently, with rebranding once again, I'm kind of becoming the person who knows all about that. We are next semester. I'm going to be starting a survey research project with the professors, just on GivePulse and its accessibility and all that stuff, and just kind of try to move everything to GivePulse rather than what is currently happening, how they record their hours and that stuff. So next year or next semester, I think there's going to be a lot of work that I will be doing on GivePulse and moving everything towards that.
Any other questions before I move on to myself? No. Okay. So far, have there been any gaps in community needs so far working with your community partners that you think maybe ASUN could help address, or if you guys are currently working to address, and if so, how are you doing that?
Gosh, I'm not certain how to answer that. I'm not sure. We don't like us three don't work with the communities the way that like the professors do, and so our involvement with specific communities isn't as intimate, and I think that professors would probably have a better idea at community needs. And this is another area where we could utilize GivePulse to collect this data and start creating more of those mutually beneficial goals, right?
That would also be really good to, like, for me to ask the professors while I'm conducting surveys. So I will write that down and have that in my mind.
Okay, thank you. I think that exhausts the rest of my questions. So does anyone else have any questions at this time? All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
All righty, before I'll do that at the end. We'll now be moving on to agenda item 9B, the discussion on the spring veterans event. I will now be opening the floor to any points of discussion if anyone likes to talk about it. Are there any points of discussion at this time? Senator Castro?
I just want to reaffirm something that got brought up slightly in a meeting earlier, which is to say that when we approach this event, I'd like if we could try to collab, and I would love to be of help on this, with local veteran organizations, such as the American Legion, which hosts like a annual oratorical competition, and maybe possibly any sort of outreach from the Wounded Warrior Project or other sorts of veteran organizations. There are a lot of ones that are local, and there's also a lot of veterans involved in the Lions Club, for example, that would be interested in helping or attending.
Thank you. Senator Barris?
Yeah, I'm going to piggyback off of Senator Castro's point. I believe that I used to work at Northern Nevada State Veterans Home, for the record. I used to be a CNA. A lot of the veterans that live inside that home and reside inside that home, I know, are always willing to come to community events, and I think that if we open up to the community, it'll bridge the gap between our university and the community surrounding us. I think it'll be great if we have veterans outside the university come attend our events, so I'm definitely willing to help facilitate that communication between different veterans home or the VA hospital to have people come out and attend our events. I know for sure we're targeting student veterans, but I think it'll be great to have that connection either way.
Senator Saporito?
I think it was a great idea from the first meeting. The only issue was we did only have like less than 2 weeks to organize everything the last time. But getting these third-party organizations and definitely reaching out, we made good relationships with the ROTC team from the last luncheon. So I've been in close contact with Mike Horton, and they're fully willing to like get the RTOC students to come and at least go to these events. I know Veterans Services came to the Senate table and they said one of the best opportunities for the luncheon is that it brings veterans from all generations. These are ROTC members of the new generation, so I think that was that would be amazing. One issue though is for any specific event, we're gonna have to take it out of our Senate outreach budget, and I know we're allocating another $1,000. We might have to reallocate more because we only have $400 left within the veterans luncheon or services account, and we're using that on shirts because the veteran services department really wants it.
Any other points of discussion at this time? Well, I was trying to brainstorm some ideas, and I was thinking like one sort of event that we could do was maybe a panel of both student veterans, maybe current veterans that we can invite onto campus, in which they kind of tell about, if they would like to, of course, kind of tell about their experience working in the military or Air Force or whatever branch it may be, or whether it's even a service job as well. So kind of having that kind of diverse sort of viewpoint from working with the military. And maybe in addition to that, have a Q&A session right afterwards in which students or anyone in the Reno community can come in, talk about and learn more about what it's like kind of being in that position. That's one of my ideas. I'm just wondering if anyone has any thoughts about that. Senator Barris?
Yeah, I think that'll be rather insightful for student veterans and maybe other veterans that are planning to attend that event. I think that's a good idea.
Thank you. anyone else? Senator Burroughs?
So my dad was in the military, and I am, I don't work with them a lot, but the military pays for, all my school. So I am constantly getting emails from the Veterans Services. I really should go there also. But I can talk. I mean, I know, my dad has friends in the community that could come to this event, so I can talk with him and also go to the Veterans Services and be more hands-on with that. I don't know, but I'm just putting that out there.
Senator Racky?
To go off that, I also have, my dad was also in the military. I know a lot of older generation servicemen that will maybe provide a different perspective, so, yeah.
Senator Saporito?
I think these are all really good ideas. One, because, yes, the veterans luncheon was amazing, or conceptually is amazing. It was pretty good. This year, I like to say that point. I'd say one of the issues, at least from my perspective, it's kind of closed off in nature, specifically only for veterans. So if we do get an event that is mainly prioritizing veterans, but allows the student body to come in and at least experience what their culture, their work life is, I think that'd be great. I would want to know, the general size of the event you're thinking about, Chair Issa, also the possible location.
I have not thought that deep into it. I was thinking that we could have those sorts of conversations when we propose the event idea to Vet Services, if that's something you're up to, Senator Saporito. Does anyone else have any points of discussion at this time? No? All righty. Seeing no more points of discussion, we'll be jumping back to agenda item 7 reports, 7B more specifically. I'll begin with my report. So I don't have much to report at this time, as I don't have a liaison position, but I sent out a bookings link to our new members of the committee, Senator Dayton, Senator Atkinson, and Senator Barris. Senator Burroughs will do the same to you as well later on, in which I'm trying to organize one-on-one meetings with you guys just to kind of get an idea as to what you want to do on the committee, what was your passions in joining the committee, and what you hope to get out of it, and also any way in which I, as chair, can go ahead and help you. So, yeah, thank you guys for filling out that for that the bookings link. I appreciate it. And lastly, frankly, some members of this committee already know about this, but I am drafting a resolution in response to the Nevada Special Session's decision to eliminate telephonic public comment in the assembly. And so if you're interested in helping to either write it or if you want to co-sponsor, then please go ahead and reach out to me and we'll collaborate on it. I've already spoken with Director Hatch about it, and I will be meeting with President Aglaba about it as well, probably this Monday. So I'll keep you guys updated on that. And also, I've still been trying to contact Kathy Castro in regards to getting us those list of events for the spring semester in which we can assist with. I, again, still have not received a response. So if Senator Barris, if you could help me with that, that would be great. That concludes my report. And moving on to Vice Chair Radke, do you have a report?
Just a small.
Hi guys. I have reached out to Director Hatch, and we have talked about setting up contact for Gov Affairs and DCE. Yep, that's it. Thank you.
Senator Atkinson, do you have a report?
Yes, I do. Sorry, my dog's like in the way, so I'm trying to calm down. I have an email that I'm going to be sending out to the Office of Service Learning and Civic Engagement, probably later tonight, early tomorrow. But yeah, that's basically it. Thanks.
All right, thank you. Senator Barris, do you have a report?
I do. Oh, I went ahead and emailed Kathy Kasher today to initiate first contact with my liaison. I'm looking forward to hearing from her. Hopefully we can set a meeting time before the semester ends. If not, I'll meet with her early or late January.
All righty, Senator Kasher, do you have a report?
Yes, I do.
Yep.
Everyone's really busy, of course, right now, including my liaison contact, Austin, as I've heard from other departments as well, which is no fault of his. But thankfully, because of Director Hatch, I will be very grateful for that, meeting him alongside Director Hatch this coming Monday afternoon.
Senator Dayton, do you have a report?
Yes. Oh. I was able to meet with Amy Kokas for the first time. She's awesome. A very nice lady. And I was able to talk to her extensively about like everything she goes over and get a like, general idea of what she does. Some two things I wanted to bring up with you guys. I mentioned the ASBN website. I know she reached out to you about this, Jason.
Yeah.
Okay, because I couldn't talk about it unless she talked to you about it first. But like they're working on a proposal to just completely rebuild the ASBN website because it's really old. And right now, any like it can no longer be updated because it's so old and it's also on like WordPress. So they're going to talk to us like hopefully sometime next semester to bring to Budget and Finance eventually just redoing that whole thing, which I'm really excited about because that was something I talked about in my presentation for Senate. And then the other thing was volunteerism. So apparently there used to be, before COVID, there used to be a system where they had like big shuttles where they would shuttle people to volunteerize. And that system disappeared during COVID, but now they're working on bringing it back. So that's something that could come back next semester as well. So those are two really exciting things that are in the works.
All right, thank you very much. Senator Evans, do you have a report this time?
Senator Evans, for the record. You know, I've kind of said a lot of it during the Senate meeting, so I'll keep it brief. I've been meeting a lot with Director Mendoza. A lot of it now is with Eblot, getting the marketing out for our lab coat initiative. We just actually today got like a piece that they're going to be marketing for the lab coat initiative. It looks really cool. So it's been great working with Mendoza, and we'll probably keep working pretty close, like every week up until like the end of the semester.
Senator Saporito, do you have a report?
Yeah, sorry for eating, I'm really hungry. So, Veterans Week, or it was 2 weeks, but they said Veterans Week. All the list of events, they went all really smoothly. I have to do, by the end of November, take down the posts all over campus, so if anyone wants to help, please let me know. They're on 50, and it took me 3 hours last time. Number just getting the shirts from Inkblot, that should be secured soon, hopefully. By next semester. And then they reached out to go to the last football game against San Jose State, which we somehow won. That was awesome. And I got to help carry flags across the football field during halftime. But that's pretty much everything.
Every single member of this committee, please help Senator Saporito. 3 hours, I did not know it was that long, so please help. Please. Senator Burroughs, I know you're not on the agenda and you've only been here for like 2 days, but do you have a report? No, okay. All right, moving down. Oh, are there any questions regarding agenda item 7B, 1-8 at this time? Oh, okay, Senator Dayton.
Senator Saporito, when are you taking down all the posters?
Give me 1 second. I'm taking them down. I'll maybe today. They're basically there's like, well, not fully. There's like 5 posts in every single building. The main chunk of it's down at the quad. I think there's like 30 posts there. There's like some in the dorms. there's only 5 here, so maybe today, over next week, have to do it before I leave Tuesday, because they have to be gone by the 30th.
Senator Dayton?
Do you have a list of locations within the different buildings that you can send out to us? We could all just pick a building to clear.
Mm-hmm.
Do that.
Yeah, I got the form in my dorm, so I'll send it to you guys.
Alrighty. Are there any other questions regarding all of our reports? Alrighty. Moving down to agenda item 10A, liaison changes and additions. I'm assuming there are no changes or additions at this time. Yeah. Senator Burroughs, for the record, during our, I will schedule one-on-one with you. I will go over sort of the liaison process and we can get you a position. All right.
What are the liaison positions open right now?
None. So, because there are no liaison positions available right now, I'm probably going to have Senator Burroughs, you're going to collaborate with another member of this committee to share a liaison position. But I'm hoping near the end of the session, I am going to try to draft a binding resolution that kind of both clarifies our duties as a committee, because I think right now it's really janky in the Senate rules, and I'll also like to add a ninth liaison position, so in the event that this committee is full again, everyone has their own unique opportunity to do something on their own with the committee. So alrighty, moving down to agenda item 11, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? All right, seeing no public comments, moving on to agenda item 12, adjournment. I adjourn this committee of the Committee on Democratic Civic Engagement at 6:17 p.m. in the Rita Lyden Senate Chambers and on Zoom. All right, thank you very much.